The famous journalist, political commentator, radio show host, Paul Harvey, is perhaps best known for his weekly segment entitled The Rest of the Story. In these short little segments, Paul Harvey would detail the history of some famous person or fantastic invention. But here's the twist. He would do it in a way that he wouldn't tell you who he was profiling or what he was talking about, and would start with some obscure facts about this person, often showing their rather difficult beginning or the strange path of discovery that led to the invention. And as the facts would gradually be revealed, and he would build and build and build, he would eventually get to the big reveal at the end and tell you who this unlikely but now famous person was. And then end with his famous tagline, "And now you know the rest of the story." I encourage you to Google around and find these things. The series ran from 1976 until his death in 2009. One famous story, for instance, just to give you a little flavor for it. He talked about a young man named Al. Al did not do well in school. He actually got kicked out of high school because he was copying off of other people and stealing their work and not turning in his homework and getting bad grades. And so, having dropped out of high school, his college prospects were out the window. And so he tried to get other little jobs. Eventually, he would go back to high school, to a different high school, because the other one wouldn't let him back in. And this time he graduated, but he couldn't get any work. He couldn't find a job. He was, by all accounts, a failure. He told his sister one time that he was just a burden to their family. It would have been better if he had never been born. But then he had a relative who was connected with the government somehow, and so he lobbied him to get him an interview with the federal patent office. And the person who interviewed him, the head of the office, you know, agreed to the interview, and then he asked him, "Look, what do you know about patents?" And Al said, "Nothing. Nothing at all." And normally that would end the interview, but the patent officer guy is like, he was intrigued that this person would have such audacity to come still. And so he agreed to keep interviewing. And he asked him, you know, "All right, there are lots of reasons why you shouldn't be here. Tell me why you should have this job." And the interview went on for almost 2 hours. And at the end, the officer decided that Al is not stupid, but he has been, to this point, a failure. And so he needs a little help to get going. And so he gives him a job. And through that one act of confidence, Al went on to make some incredible discoveries, inventions, to imply himself in a way that he, from that point on, gave his very best. And Al would go on to become not a failure anymore, but the person that we today know as the great Albert Einstein. And now you know the rest of the story. Countless others like that build from some unexpected beginning. Who would think that Albert Einstein would have been a high school dropout, failed to go to college, couldn't hold down a job, and thought he shouldn't even been born? That's a pretty sad beginning, and yet we know now the end of the story, where he becomes Albert Einstein. And imagine the world without Albert Einstein. And we can think of countless other examples like this. He goes through a man who was supposed to work for NASA, and he was trying to invent a new glue that would hold but could be removed more easily without leaving residue. And he worked on countless ones. Failure. Because the problem was he could get the part where the glue would not leave a residue, but it wouldn't stick. He made this glue that he's like, it doesn't stick. It only sticks a little bit. I was like, I'm a complete failure. But in the end, he turns out to be the inventor of what we know today as the post-it note. That glue that doesn't quite stick, but sticks just enough to hold a little piece of paper. Imagine today without post-it notes. And yet the guy thought he was a failure. Or one of my favorites, a more modern example, not from Paul Harvey, but from a Super Bowl ad, if you can believe it, actually. And I posted the video on my website, so you can go check it out for yourself. It's a 40-second-long Super Bowl ad that is one of the greatest pro-life commercials I've ever seen. It starts with a picture of a little baby in his mother's womb on a sonogram. And as is so often the case to justify abortion today, it puts right in front of us the sad circumstances. It says, this child's future is a broken home. This child's father will abandon him. His single mother will struggle to raise him. But this child, despite difficulties, will endure. This child will go on to become the first African-American president. And then it shows a picture of President Obama and his family and says, life, imagine the potential. I think that little line, life, imagine the potential, is what's really behind all these stories. Paul Harvey and Albert Einstein, the Post-it note, President Obama. It's to see in the circumstances that don't look good that that's not the rest of the story. There's more to it. The story goes on, and there can be these miraculous happy endings. That's ultimately what is going on in our scriptures today. You look at Abraham, for instance. Abraham was called by God to leave his home to go to a place God had promised. And when he gets to what is today Jerusalem, the promised land, God says, here it is. I give you all this. It was a dump. It was a desert. Abraham would have looked around and said, thanks, God. I came all the way from my nice home over in Babylon so I could come here. This is the promised land? Give me a break. This is stupid. I should go back home. But Abraham doesn't do that. And that leads to our story in the first reading about the Passover, because Moses in the promised land of Egypt, not where they're supposed to be, is in slavery. And Moses famously goes to Pharaoh, the great deliverer Moses, let my people go. Yay. But Pharaoh says, no, get out of here. Like, but I'm Moses. I'm God's chosen one. I'm going to lead the people out. Yeah. The heck you are. Get out of here, little Moses. I'm Pharaoh. And so God has to say, no, trust me. And he sends plague after plague after plague upon Pharaoh to try to soften his heart. And nothing works. In fact, everything gets worse for the Israelites under Moses. They have to make bricks without straw. Some deliverer Moses is. It just gets worse. And yet, Moses then comes and says, no, we have to have faith. God has told me that on this very night, we are going to leave Egypt in triumph. Yeah, right, Moses. We just saw that God just did 9 plagues and that didn't work. This story is a disaster. We wish we'd never met you, Moses. This God that we supposedly serve isn't saving us. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And yet God says, no, no. Tonight you eat this Passover meal, sandals on your feet, staff in your hand, your loins girt, ready to flee, because in just a few hours, Pharaoh is not only going to let you go, he's going to demand that you go. Could they see that story at that time? I don't know, but that's the end of the story that God promised, and of course, it works out. And so Charlton Heston and all the great extras in the Ten Commandments movie, just as God promised, leave Egypt in triumph, crossing the Red Sea, things people could never imagine. Think of that as the Israelites are in slavery in Egypt, how close they were to the rest of the story. Moses will then lead them, and where do they end up ultimately? Right back in the promised land that God showed Abraham hundreds of years previously. It took that long for the story to unfold, but God was faithful. The story ended well. God knew the rest of the story the whole time. And that's why the letter to the Hebrews today can praise Abraham for his faith. Notice that God even asks Abraham something incredible after he fulfills this promise of giving him descendants, a man almost dead, the author tells us. Abraham is told by God, now, your heir, I want you to kill Isaac, your only son. Like, come on, God. That's the dumbest story ever. You already told me that the story is that my descendants go on as numerous as the stars through Isaac. How's that going to happen if I kill Isaac? But here's the thing. By this time, Abraham is able to imagine the rest of the story. Notice the last line. It says, Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac because he believed that God could even raise someone from the dead. Now, God hadn't done that yet. This is before Jesus' resurrection from the dead. But Abraham reasoned there must be a happy end to the story. What might the rest of the story look like? The rest of the story must look like God has to be able to raise people from the dead. Now, we're able to look today at these stories and say, gosh, isn't it great to see the happy end of these stories? But what about us right now? We're in the middle of our story. We're not at the end yet. We don't know the rest of our story. Maybe where we're at, it looks kind of grim. Maybe you are struggling right now with, you can't find a job, you lost your job, you need a better job. Maybe things are not going right in the family. Maybe you're struggling at school. Maybe you don't want to go back to school. Maybe the story is summer vacation is over. It doesn't sound very fun. Maybe there's all kinds of struggle in your family life. Maybe you look at the politics of the world and you're like, this story is awful. Where is our world going? And all around, it just seems like this story is not good. Well, we need to see the potential. Imagine the potential of the rest of the story. When we're in the midst of these dark times where nothing seems to be going right, can we be like Abraham, Moses, Paul Harvey, President Obama? Can we see an end of the story that we have not thought of? I think oftentimes we do the opposite. What do when we're in struggle and suffering? We think, well, this is how it's always going to be. It's just going to be a mess. There is no way this gets better. What do? We think, well, this will happen, and then that bad thing will happen. And we have this just de-escalating series of events that ultimately ends, somehow, I will be poor living in a shopping cart under an overpass. That's ultimately how the story always ends in our mind. If you play it out, what will happen? Well, I lost my job. Now we'll have no money. Now we'll be out of our house. Now it's going to get worse and worse and worse until finally we are in a shopping cart living under an overpass. That's how we tend to play out the story. What if instead we looked at the story and said, no, God is doing something great. I know it. He's promised. I know that the story I'm in is a success story. Maybe I'm going to go on to be like an Albert Einstein or a post-it note inventor or a president of the United States. Maybe this valley of tears that I seem to be in is really the promised land, and I just can't recognize it yet because right now it looks like a dump. The scriptures are filled with stories, and really this one story, that God is faithful, that no matter where we're at, we're in a success story. So what is God doing with your life right now? Maybe it looks like a dump. Maybe it doesn't look like the promised land. Maybe everything seems to be going wrong. Here's the secret. You don't need a new life. You need a new story. And not even a new story. You need to recognize the story that you're in. Because the truth is, you're in a success story. You may not see it in this life. It may take until heaven. But when you get to the end, then you're able to look back and say, all right, that was bad. That was a low time. But if I hadn't been there, then I wouldn't have done this. And if that bad thing hadn't happened, well, then this wouldn't have happened. At the end of life, you can look back and see the beautiful story God has written with your whole life. Because then from heaven, when you see it all, every little bit of it, well, then you'll be able to have that peace, that rest, that joy. Because from heaven, then you'll know the rest of the story.